You know, as I thought about this meeting tonight, I believe the Lord would have us look at this man, Job. And I've entitled the message, even tonight, Job, a Godly Praying Father. The introduction to this man called Job, lived around the time of Abraham. He lived in the land of Uz, over in the eastern part of Arabia, which lay towards Chaldea, near the Euphrates, probably not far from Ur of the Chaldees, from whence Abraham was called. You know, some skeptics and some people would have said that this man, Job, was a mystical man. Some would say that this man, Job, never really existed. And all these livestock that he had, and all the sufferings that he had, never really happened. Just a story. Some would try to tell you this. But you know, the Word of God has recorded some 42 chapters on this man's life and on his sufferings. But God also speaks of him through his servant Ezekiel. If I read to you just one verse in Ezekiel chapter 14 and the verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job, were in it, they should deliver their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Here God mentions Job with Daniel and Noah. This was this man's, Job's pedigree, brought into Daniel and Noah. And also in the book of James, in the New Testament, we read there of the patience of Job. This man was real. This man walked upon the earth that you or I are walking on today. This man breathed the air. You know, we read in this about this man, what God said about this man called Job. Right in the very first verse, we read of this man's character. We told there that this man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Friends, tonight, let us look at the character of this man. Let it sink into our hearts. He was perfect. He was perfect. Can that be said of even you and I tonight? To those that we work with, those that we're with daily, can they say of us that we are perfect? Can they say of us that we are upright? Because Job was upright in all of his dealings with his fellow man, in his home, in his business. Everything was done right and honourable in the eyes of God. Can that be said of you and I even tonight? He was perfect. Every part of his life was complete. He was one that feared God. This man Job had a godly, reverent fear. He knew who God was. He knew that he was to be reverenced. He was to be feared and respected. You know, he eschewed evil. I looked up the dictionary just to see exactly what this word means. It tells us very clearly to deliberately avoid or to abstain from. To deliberately avoid or to abstain from. This man hated sin. He deliberately avoided it. He deliberately avoided evil. He abstained from sin. He hated sin and he done his very best to flee from temptation and to live his life even for God. Read there in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 12 through to 14. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lusts thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from their dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. He was a righteous man. He was devout in his worship, even to his God. What a testimony this man Job had before men. As men talked about Job, they couldn't think of anything bad to say about this man. They couldn't say, well, that man Job, yes, on a Sunday he walks about and he's in his church and he's a godly man, but then during the week he did this or he did that or he said the other. That couldn't be said of Job. Job had his testimony before men. But you know, with a good, very good yes for all of us to have a right testimony even before men. But what did God say about this man? What was God's take on this man, Job? God says there in the verse 8 when he was talking with the devil, God says there that the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect man, an upright man, one that feared God and eschews evil." God said about him that there was none like him in the earth. What a testimony this man Job had. None like him in all the earth. He stood out. This man Job stood apart. Why? Because he walked with God. He had that godly, reverent fear of God. And he put it into practice in his business and in his family and wherever he went. I'm sure that at that time, back in those days, this man, Job, was known for miles and miles around in that land. He was a godly man, but he was not as sinlessly perfect. As we are told in Job chapter 9 and the verse 20, this is what Job said, that if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. So we are not told that he was in sinless perfection. Yet in a sinful world, he sought to walk with his God. Some would say, well, back in those days it was easier. There's not the same pressure. There wasn't the same pull from the world in those days. He had plenty of time to have his walk with the Lord. His family, they were all grown up. They had their own houses. It was just him and his wife and his business. You know, we read there in the verse 2 and the verse 3 of Job, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household." So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. You know, I will tell you, this man was a very, very busy man. He had vast herds and vast livestock. You know, I think even in today's terms, this man would be classed as a very, very big farmer. You know, even as a child, I remember sitting in children's meetings in Sunday school and even reading about this man, Job, and I was just amazed at the size of this man's farm. And it's still today, and I just feel the very same about it. Massive way of going. And yet we're talking about a man back in the days of Abraham. Never mind when we read at the end of the chapter, at the end of the book of Job, of how God blessed him and gave him twice as much even as he had before. He also had a very large household, many servants, many staff to manage all of his enterprises. And then all of his family, all grown up, probably in their own homes and married, and probably even some with their own children. This man would have been pulled in every direction. Family, livestock, staff. This man had been greatly blessed by God. We're reminded that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. God had blessed Job abundantly, and I believe he knew it. I believe that Job thanked the Lord every day for what he had, and he knew that it was God and God alone that had given it to him. And yet, with all of his cattle, all of his sheep, and all of his camels, yet he did not set his heart upon these things. This man walked with God, lived a godly life, feared the Lord. What an example, even to you and to I tonight. You know, when God describes this man in his word, first of all, he talks of his standing with the Lord first and foremost. And then he talks about his family. And then he talks about what he has. God has everything in order, in the right order, even for us. Doesn't matter, you know, what we have of this world's goods. It's not important how many livestock we have or how much money we have in the bank. God puts it in second and third place. God tells us first and foremost that Job walked with his God. The only thing that matters is that we're saved and we love the Lord, and that we live our lives for the Lord before God and man. This man was very, very wealthy, yet still he had time for his God. His priority was to live a life that was pleasing even to his God. You know, tonight we could just look at Job and remind ourselves of how he suffered and how he lost all that he had, and how even he suffered physically, and how even in all of this he was faithful and he did not blame God. And that would be very good and very worthwhile. But tonight I just want us to look very simply at this man Job as a father. This man Job as a parent of 10 grown-up children. And see how this man Job lived for the Lord in front of his family. And how he prayed for them. How he supplicated for them. The anguish of soul even that he had for them. And you know, as I thought about this meeting tonight and what the Lord would have me to say, I believe clearly that this is what the Lord would have us to look at. And please do not think for one moment that I am setting myself up like this man Job and how he prayed and cared for his family. Because the Lord has really challenged my heart with regard to my duty as a father and how far short even I fall in the light of this man Job. Let us look firstly at Job's concern even for his family. Read there in the verse 4 that his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. Firstly, what do we see here? We see here a family that got on well together. We see there at the end of verse 4, as the sons went and feasted in their houses, that then they called for their three sisters to come and to eat with them. They were a close family. They were all got on well together. And even now, when they're all grown up with their own homes, they're all want to be together. Now, sadly, that's not even always the case. Even amongst God's own people, sadly, so many families are split, even over something that has happened many, many years ago. Again, we see in verse 1 how his godly life came first, then his family in verse 2, and then Job's business in verse 3. God put everything in the right order, an example even to myself in my own life tonight. He was a godly father who had time even for his children. What sort of parents are we before God tonight? Can we see the concern that this man had even for his family? No matter whether the children were young or old, even though those children of Job's had grown up and even now were in their own homes, Job was still even concerned about them. He was concerned about how they were walking with the Lord, and most of all that they were not living lives that were full of sin. These children were taught the Word of God from a very early age. I'm sure that they had the example of a godly father even to guide them in a Christian home, brought up in the things of God. What a privilege, what a blessing even these children had. Job was concerned with his children. He was concerned how they gathered socially. This time of feasting could have been a time when they let their guard down, when they were at ease, a time when they could have very easily sinned against God in thought, in word, and in deed. Even they could have rejected God even in their hearts. Even that there at that house, there may have been those who, in their houses with those sons and daughters, there may have been those there who didn't love the Lord. Those who would have maybe encouraged even Job's sons or daughters to do things or say things that would have been wrong and sinful in the eyes of God. Not setting out to do so, but just by getting carried away in a moment foolishly. Just by putting God out of their hearts and out of their minds. You know how easy this can happen. Even to God's own people, we need to be concerned where our children are going and who they're with. We need to know who their friends are, We need to encourage them to make their friends amongst God's own people, amongst those who are saved and love the Lord, have the same desires that even they would have. But you know, Job sent for his children there in verse 5, and he sanctified them. He was concerned for them. I'm sure no matter how busy this man was, that he spent many, many hours on his knees before God. Whenever his children were having these times of feasting, and whenever these were taking place, I'm sure Job would not have risen off his knees until this was over, because he knew this was the time when his children were most likely even to fall into sin. What an example even to us tonight. Do we have that same concern for our children? So easy to say they'll be okay, give them a bit of space, let them run on. Not so with Job. I pray that the Lord will help us to pray even for our families in that very same manner. Remember even the example of Hannah and Eli, and how they took Samuel up to the temple when he was weaned, and there Hannah prayed with him and for him, that God would bless him and God would undertake for him. And his father Eli made an offering even unto the Lord. There was the mother and father. What an example they were setting. They took their child up to the house of God and they prayed for him. And they took him to God's house and left him there. What an example even to us tonight. Think of godly Abraham and how he had concern even for his son Isaac. Remember whenever the time had come to seek out a wife for Isaac, how Abraham sent a servant off back to his own country to get a wife for Isaac. How I'm sure Abraham prayed and prayed and prayed that God would guide his servant and God would bring back the wife even of God's own choosing. So important that we pray for our children. Then we think of even the other extreme. We think of even Eli and his two sons and how wicked and evil that they were. God says in his word, the sin of these men was very, very great before the Lord. And Eli knew it. Yet he knew the things that they were doing. He knew the sins that they were committing. And he did nothing to stop it. Did nothing to stop their sin. And we know the end of this story, how God cut them off, how God dealt with them. You know, what an example again, the importance even of praying and seeking to guide and direct our children. We need to have a godly concern for our children, no matter what age they are, not to let them go and just do their own thing and say they will be okay. But it's more important that we have that concern for our own children. Read there in verse 5. So Job sent and he sanctified them. Then we read that he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Job's concern was now turned into action. What does he do? He rises early. There was an urgency here. He could not lie on and say, well, I'll sort my children out later on. I'm tired. I've had a hard day yesterday. We'll sort the children out later. You know, he didn't say, well, we'll leave it till after a while because I've got business even to attend to first. He puts his children right at the very top of even his agenda. He makes a sacrifice there early in the morning for each one of his children. And he prays for them. Listen, friends, he prays for them individually. His concern now had turned even into action. Something had to be done in case they had sinned against God. Job wanted to keep his children on the straight and the narrow way. And I'm sure that as Job made sacrifice for each one of those children, and that as those children stood there and they watched their father, their godly father, slay the animal and the blood was shed, and the sacrifice was made there for their sin, it was done to remind them that there was a price that had to be paid. There had to be a price paid for their sin. It couldn't just be forgotten about. Their sin couldn't be brushed under the carpet. It had to be dealt with. It was to remind them of the Redeemer. of the work that one day would be done when the Lord Jesus Christ would come, the sinless Lamb of God, when His blood would be shed for our sins, that it reminded them of what sin deserved. We can see there that before the Lord today, we see only when we come before the Lord today, because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, this sacrifice that Job made, it would have brought them back to the Lord. Yes, yesterday's party was gone. The feasting was over. Yes, they were enjoying themselves, but they might have sinned and they might not. But now things have changed. Now they're standing solemnly before their Father, and to watch Him offer the burnt offerings and praying for them and praying for their souls, they were brought back to the Lord. Their thoughts were turned away from the things of the world and back to the Lord. Now they could see the only thing that mattered, even in their lives, was that their hearts were right in the eyes of a holy God. All the good times only last for a season. The pleasures of this world run dry very, very quickly. But to see their godly, concerned Father stand there before them and make sacrifice and offerings before them, each one, you know, I'm sure their hearts were humbled. I'm sure, you know, those young people were humbled. And you know why? Because it wasn't a show. This wasn't put on every now and again. Job didn't just do this now and again when it suited him or whenever he had time. It wasn't put on for the staff or for the household to see what was going on. It wasn't just a mere routine. Job was no hypocrite. No one could point the finger at Job, not least his children. Job practiced even what he preached. What an example even to us, to practice even what we preach. They knew their godly Father had a genuine concern for their souls and for their salvation. It was from the heart. And each one of those 7 sons and 3 daughters knew that they were blessed because of that godly, concerned Father, that God blessed them with. We can see the concern, we can see the action that Job took. We are told then that he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. According to the number of them all. Friends, it was done individually, for each one individually. You know how we need to pray for our families and for our children as individuals. Just as their faces differ, so do their needs. So important that we pray for them, each one. Yes, pray for them collectively and generally, that God would keep His hand upon them and bless them and take care of them and lead them and guide them and direct them. But most of all, pray for them individually. Pray for those that are weak spiritually, that God would strengthen them and that God would help them to grow in grace and into a deeper knowledge of Himself. Pray for those of our children are maybe struggling in school or work or university with no Christian company and trying to take their stand for God. Pray that God will help them and make them strong in the Lord, even for Himself. Pray for those of our children who are maybe not physically well, that God would touch them and God would restore them even back to full health and strength. Maybe there's those of our children and they're facing uncertain times ahead. They have to make choices. They have to decide which university to go to or which job to take, or maybe they're in a relationship, a fella or a girl, and they're not sure even if this is the right person for them. Pray that God will guide them and God will make it very clear to them, even His will, even for their lives. We need to pray for them as individuals, that they are who they are and what their different needs are. You know, there's something else here. There's even a picture here of a family altar. A family altar. A place where Job brought his children and he gathered them together and he prayed with them and he talked to them even of the things of God. You know, a place where we can come as a family and gather together with our children with the Lord. That is what Job did. Gathered his children round and made burnt offerings for each of them and prayed and opened up the Word of God. What a challenge even to each one of us tonight to have time for that family altar. make time. I know we all live busy, busy lives. And so easy to say, well, we'll not do it tonight, or we'll do it tomorrow, or whatever, or we're not all here. So important that we make the effort even to get this family altar even back, even into our homes again. We read there in Deuteronomy, the chapter 6, and the verses 4 to 7, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And listen what it says. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou wakest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." God commanded it to Moses that God's people were to take that time to teach the children from God's precious word, to have that family altar there and take that time even to meet with the Lord. But you know, we read something else here. There was a concern, there was the action, there was the family altar, and there was a praying as individuals, but there was something else. Read there at the end of that verse 5, "Thus did Job continually." Thus did Job continually. Job prayed. He was concerned. He sanctified. He made burnt offerings. How often did he do this? Did he do it now and again? Did he do it maybe once a week or twice a week when he wasn't busy with his farm and with all of his livestock? No, we're told something else. Job did this continually. He never stopped his care and his attention spiritually for his family. It was a daily thing. It was a continuous thing. He never gave up. What an example even to you and I tonight, that we're persistent even in that place of prayer, even for our children. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you're listening even in online. Maybe you have a child or children, and as yet they're not saved. Maybe they're even backslidden. Maybe now they're grown up and they're well on in years. Maybe they even have their own family. Now, what does God say to you tonight? Pray on. God says pray on. Pray continually, as I'm sure you do. I believe, you know, God answered Job's prayers. Why do I say that? Because we read in the verse 21 there, this is just after Job's children had all been killed. What Job said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was at peace with God, even with all the loss of his family and his possessions. Yet he was able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe God answered his prayers for the salvation of his family, and Job knew it. Read also there in the very last chapter, even of the book of Job, tells us there, "The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters." Some would say, well, sure, if Job got twice as many livestock as before, why did God not give Job 7 more sons, 14 sons, and 6 daughters? But you know, the commentators make it very clear, even the reason for this, and it's very simple. God did double Job's family because his first 10 children were all saved. Those first 10 children were all saved, had put their faith and trust in God, and were in heaven with the Lord. And then God gave Job 7 more sons and 3 daughters down here upon earth. Job had 2 families, one in heaven and even one here upon the earth. Father, mother, tonight, pray on for those of your family who are not saved, who are not walking with the Lord. Pray on for them. Do not give up. God hears and answers prayer. Pray on continually. Children tonight, you know, I would encourage you to thank the Lord daily, even for your godly prayer parents. What a privilege it is. You mightn't realize it at the time. What a privilege it is for you to be brought up even in a Christian home. What a privilege to have godly parents who have a concern for you, who have a care for you, who pray for you every day. Yes, they might ask you where you're going or what you're doing, but it's only out of a godly concern for you. You know, children, thank the Lord even for your godly parents. You know, I pray tonight that we would have even the spirit of Job in our lives, not just to pray for our children even now and then, but to pray continually for them, that God would be merciful to those of our families that are not saved, to those that are saved, that God would lead them on out after Himself, that God would help them to grow in grace daily and into a deeper, sweeter relationship with God, that they would grow spiritually, and that even our young people would be found in the Word of God and in the place of prayer and also even in the house of God. I trust that the Lord would even bless this word even to your hearts, even as the Lord has even blessed it to mine, even tonight. We'll just close this part of the meeting with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us tonight and for help given. We thank you, Lord, for the example of even thy godly servant Job. Lord, even help us as parents, Lord, to have that godly concern for our children. Lord, that we would pray for them continually. Lord, that we would care for them and take action, Lord, for them, and be pleased to save those that are not saved, Lord, even in our families. Lord, I can do it. But thank you, Lord, tonight there's nothing too hard for our God. Oh, Lord, we just pray that you'll come and bless each head bowed in thy presence and each one that has been listening online in our Savior's name.